Happy Easter, everybody. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yeah. So today is Easter Sunday, the highest holy day in Christendom. It is the day that we recognize that Jesus conquered the grave. He conquered death. He overcame the bondage of hell and lives today to bring freedom to all of us.
So welcome to church. I'm Donna Schuler. This is Robert Schuler. We're glad to be with you today. It's 8 a.m. California time, and we have this online service for you. And then we're going down to the Civic Center in Newport Beach for a 10:30 a.m. service with a bunch of great people. So if you live anywhere close, get in your car. You can get there by 10:30, and you can still get to go home and make Easter dinner. In fact, we did something unusual. We've been working our butts off.
I can't believe you did
I got this. Up this morning and had to clean the oven. I didn't know it wasn't clean. We're doing some roast today, some prime rib, and we're having six other people, three other couples over. Our children are grown and out of the area. The child that lives here in Orange County has stuff to do with his own church, and we decided to do this. So I have a really beautifully set table over to the right. Anyway, all this to be said that you have time. If I can do it and I'm in ministry, this is part of what I do every Sunday, you can do it. We can do it. You can do it. I had him vacuuming last night or this morning?
It was last night, not this morning.
Anyway, cleaning bathrooms, all the stuff you do when you have guests over. We're looking forward to it. So I hope you have a wonderful day. Remember what the day is all about. It's about our risen Lord, and he rose from death. And you know what? No matter what you're going through, Easter always comes. Friday's horrible day, Good Friday, right? And Saturday, he's in the tomb, but on Sunday, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yeah, and God will take you out of whatever you feel like you were, you know, in tune for, whatever you feel like you are going through. So hopefully today is a new day for you to begin again.
Yeah. So I was not going to give a report on events because it's Easter.
Right.
Until
yeah,
Biden comes out with his Easter report. And so I'm just going to read to you a meme that I received. And then I'm going to share with you. Yeah. So for Hanukkah, this was the text message from the White House, from SCOTUS. It's President Biden.
SCOTUS. Yeah. You're right.
At SCOTUS. At POTUS, rather. President of the United States.
Yeah.
Lighting. And this is for Hanukkah. He said, lighting the menorah. Is a reminder to hold on to the miracles of hope and faith, because when you do, no night is so dark that we can't find the light. Happy Hanukkah.
That's nice.
Nice message.
Nice. Yeah.
Ramadan, tonight, as the new crescent moon marks the beginning of the Islamic holy month of Ramadan, Jill and I extend our best wishes and prayers to Muslims across our country and around the world. That's nice, isn't it?
Nice message.
Kwanzaa. As we begin the 7 days of Kwanzaa, Jill and I send our best wishes to everyone celebrating. May this time of reflection on the rich heritage of African American culture bring peace, unity, and joy. Another nice message. But now we get the Easter message.
Easter.
Mm-hmm. Now, therefore, I, Joseph R. Biden Jr., President of the United States of America, by virtue of the authority vested in me by the Constitution and the laws of the United States, do hereby proclaim March 31st, 2024, that happens to be today, Easter, and this is his Easter message to the world and to the Christian church. He proclaims today as Transgender Day of Visibility. Unbelievable, you know? But
made me want to cry.
Yeah, me too. But here's the Here's the report from the Epoch Times. Trump demands Biden apologize for proclaiming Easter Sunday Transgender Day of Visibility. And I agree with Trump that he should apologize for this because what would happen if he had done this on the first day of Ramadan or Hanukkah or
Kwanzaa or any other religious holiday?
I don't think you would have a...
They wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. That's the point. We are persecuted as Christians.
You
need to recognize that we
are being persecuted. Mm-hmm. So here in that same article, we have a statement. It says Easter Sunday is being replaced. Much of the criticism of the president's proclamation centered on the fact that March 31st, 2024 falls on Easter Sunday. And he could have done it tomorrow, or he could have done it
next Saturday weekend, or
next weekend, but he did it today. And if he had to have it, if it had to be March 31st, then you have to tell him, you got to wait till next year, guys. I mean, I can't do this on Easter Sunday, which is one of the most important Christian religious holidays. Easter Sunday, and this is Kevin Sorbo's talking. He's a good friend of ours, a great guy, an actor. He was Hercules in the TV series years and years and years ago. But Easter Sunday is being replaced.
It's being replaced.
Our Catholic president banned religious imagery from the White House and is now calling Easter Sunday Transgender Day of Visibility. So,
and by the way, Kevin Sorbo has 1.9 million followers on X, which is Twitter. So he has a voice.
So it's sad.
So sad.
That evil is attacking the Christian church and Christendom and the Christian faith in the United States of America. And the reason it's doing that is because Christianity is actually experiencing right now a revival.
Exactly.
Last year on Pentecost Sunday, over 4,000 people were baptized in California alone. I'm going to be talking a little bit about that in my
message. In California,
messages.
In Orange County, right? Isn't it right here?
Most of them, I think, were in Orange County, actually in Huntington Beach.
That's right.
And this year, we expect it to be the largest baptism service in the history of... We just lost our light.
Uh-oh.
In the history of the world. Like I said,
something?
It's going out.
Yeah, I touched. You know what's funny? I knew that was going to... Oh, well. You can see how much better lighting is. Actually, you look good. You look pink.
Oh, well. It's down there where the connection is, if you want to check.
I'll try. But you go ahead.
But you have to fiddle around with it.
Yeah, I know. That's what shorts are.
There it is. Okay, put it down carefully. Oh, there it goes. Put it down and see if you can get it with it down.
Is it done?
Yeah. Okay. So anyway. So Christendom is under attack, and the reason it is under attack is Christianity will preserve the Republic of the United States. Christianity will not allow communism to thrive, and as a result of that, evil needs to take down the Christian faith, needs to abolish God, and so we see it taking place around the world today. But today is Easter because we know that Christ conquered the grave. We know that the first century Christians suffered immense persecution, and no one in their wildest imaginations could envision what the Christian church has become today. And in spite of all the persecutions throughout history, the Christian church has survived. When I talk about Christian church, I'm not talking about the building on the corner. I'm talking about the believers in Jesus Christ worldwide, who may go to the church down the street, who may never go to church, but they understand Jesus, they love Jesus, they pray, they read their Bible, and they worship God. And that's the church I'm talking about. So anyway, it's Easter Sunday, and I have a beautiful scripture for Donna to read. It's a little longer than normal. But
it's an important recollection of history.
It's so important for us to remember the words that we have of of the resurrection.
Exactly. And I think it's important too, because of what you have been talking about the last 5 minutes at least, is, you know, God takes what the enemy made for evil, what he did for evil, and he turns it to good every time, right?
Yeah.
That's straight out of the Bible. And it's true. We just have to remember that. Whatever was meant for evil, God will turn it for good. And sometimes we don't see it, but it's there and it's happening. So hold on to faith. Hold on to hope.
Yeah. So I'll let you.
Yes. Great. So here it is, the recollection of what happened on Easter morning. After the Sabbath, on the first day of the week, at dawn, very early in the morning, Mary Magdalene, mother of, and Mary, the mother of James, Joanna, and Salome, took the spices they had prepared, and they went to the tomb. They asked each other, "Who will roll this stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" Just then there was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and he rolled back the stone, and he sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Come and see the place where he lay." So having found the stone, which was very large, rolled away from the tomb, they entered and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they stood there in wonder, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Do not be afraid, for we know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. He is going ahead of you to Galilee. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee? The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. Now go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. Mary Magdalene said, "I have seen the Lord." But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter and the other disciple, however, got up and started running to the tomb. The other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over, he looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and he believed. They still did not understand from the scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying, wondering to themselves what had happened. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for Easter. Thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to live on the earth and to be a human while he was still God, Lord. Thank you that he made the decision to go forward with your plan, because he said, "Not my will, but your will be done." Lord, may we follow your will when we have these human temptations to go the wrong way, Lord. May we just remember to listen to your voice, the most important voice there is. When things around us crumble, when we can't figure it out, when our plans fall apart, when we experience illness, or hurt, or abandonment, Lord, help us to always reach for you. You are our comforter. You are the Lord Almighty. And we thank you. We love you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So, this is Easter Sunday. It's Sunday. In general, we always take an offering because we are a 501c3 nonprofit church. This is what we do. We're pastors. We do this full time. And if it wasn't for you and your generous giving, we wouldn't be able to do this because obviously we live in a flesh and blood world and there's expenses. And more importantly, you need to give. You need to give to show God, to show the world, to show others that money is important, but it's not as important as letting go of it sometimes and seeing what happens, trusting God that He will always outgive you, not necessarily in money, but always in relationships and those job opportunities you want. You know, there's lots of studies done that show that people that give are much more successful people. They're happier. They have more joyful lives. They have better marriages. Their children are happier. There's just lots of studies that show givers receive. They receive in so many different ways. And once in a while, you might get a financial blessing too.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to give this ministry, Robert, why don't you talk for a minute? Tell them how to do that.
Yeah, we have several ways you can give. And one way is through our giving app. So if you go to our website at drschuller.org, that's drschuller.org, you'll see it here on the slide I just put up.
Well, you won't see the Dr. Schuller. Oh, yes, you
yes,
will.
It is.
Yes,
it's right
on
there,
the bottom.
Drschuller.org.
Oh.
So you can go there and you will find our giving app there, and you can click on the button that says I'd like to give, and you can follow the prompts. Or get to the same place, you can hit the QR code and that you have on the screen with your cell phone. And
as long as you're not watching on your cell phone.
Yeah, exactly. And take a picture and it'll take you to the same place. Otherwise, you can also give on Venmo. We have our Venmo QR code on the other side. You can see that it's pretty clear which one's the Venmo.
That's Robert Schuller Ministries is the name of it.
Yeah, and you'll see Donna and our picture in the middle of the QR
address.
Code. And yeah, that's the other way you can give is to send a check to Robert Schuller Ministries at 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660.
And last week or the week before, you challenged people to give, to pray about giving $24 a week for 2024. And
actually
somebody,
$24 a month.
Oh, well, somebody's giving $24. Oh, you're right. $24 a month. You're right. Somebody gave January, February, March, and they're giving $24 a month. And we appreciate that so much. But if you want to give $24 a week or $24 a day,
yeah.
That works well too. And there's 24 hours in a day. So
There
you go. So thank you for what you're able to give, what you feel called by God to give. If you don't give to this church, please give to another church. I know we support a lot of non-government NGOs, non-governmental organizations, nonprofits, whatever you want to call them, that do great work. But please remember to support your church that's Bible preaching, you know, God-fearing, Jesus-loving church that tells the truth, because churches need it. We've already said churches are being... Really, we are being ostracized. And
well, unfortunately, there's a lot of churches that have their head in the sand. They don't understand what's going on. They don't see what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 4 years ago, at this time, I had a pastor of a prestigious church here in Orange County, John. He came up to me and says, you know, I'm putting together a group of pastors because we've got to stop Trump from becoming the next president of the United States. And he was all about supporting Biden. And I said, you're nuts. You don't know what you're doing. You don't know what you're talking about. And now I want to find out from him how he feels about Biden desecrating.
Desecrating
Easter Sunday.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to.
Yes.
Desecrating Easter Sunday. So does he still support Biden under these circumstances. And I probably will, because it's, I'm pretty upset about the whole thing. Excuse me. But anyway, so I'll probably end up doing that.
Okay.
But shall I give my message now? Is there any other announcements you have to make or anything?
Nothing. No. Okay. Thank you. And come to service at 10:30 at the Civic Center in Newport Beach if you can. If you live close enough. Even if you live in LA, San Diego, Orange County area, it's not too far to drive on a Sunday morning. There's no traffic. So God loves you, and so do we, and we will see you next week.
Yeah. Yeah, we're here every single Sunday at 8 a.m. on however you're seeing us now. We'll be here again next week and the following week. You can always go to our website. We're on there live as well at drschuller.org. That's drschuller.org. Please like and share this message and to give us a thumbs up if this is a message for you, because we believe that Jesus is our risen Savior and our Lord. And we proclaim this in a positive and a beautiful way, that Jesus rose from the grave. And that's what Easter is all about, that Jesus conquered death, that he is alive, that he's living in our hearts and souls.
I have to interrupt you, and I'm sorry. What is the temperature for the oven?
250.
Thank you. Sorry.
No problem. So we're heating up. So there's a few things I'm going to read today. I've been doing Easter Sunday messages since 1982, and I've averaged probably three sermons every Easter Sunday. And so I calculated I've done over 120 Easter messages. So I've done a lot, and I love Easter. It's my favorite Sunday of the entire year. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually do some readings today. One reading I have for you is the person of Jesus, who Jesus was, what he did, what he accomplished as being the man he was, and why it makes us people who won't go and start killing people because of things that are taking place. For instance, let me ask you this question. This morning, somebody went and parked a huge trailer filled with Bibles in order to block the street of a major church in Tennessee.
In Kentucky.
And then he lit that trailer, which was full of Bibles. This trailer full of Bibles. He lit it on fire so that people couldn't get to the church on Sunday morning for Easter. What would happen if that ever happened with a mosque on a holy day? You filled a trailer full of Qurans and lit it in fire so people couldn't get to the mosque. There would be such an outcry on all of your media, NBC, CBS, ABC, hate crimes. It would be absolutely horrific. The Muslims would be protesting in the streets. They would have legitimacy for vengeance and for doing things of that nature. What do we as Christians do? Basically nothing. And why? Why do we do basically nothing? Because we know that it isn't the Bible, it isn't those pages that are holy. It is the message that is within those pages. We know that God is more powerful than the person who set that thing on fire. Will that person be brought to justice? I hope he should be. But nobody's going to be protesting in the streets. You won't find Christians carrying signs. You won't find that, because we understand that Jesus Christ is bigger than all of that. Jesus Christ was not Muhammad, who was just a prophet. Jesus Christ was the Son of God. He was part of the triune nature. He was in the beginning, always has been, and always will be. And that is why I will always serve Jesus. with a smile on my face, no matter what persecutions we face, no matter what struggles we encounter, I will constantly serve him. Here's my first reading that I'm going to share with you today. It says, in terms of chemistry, Jesus turned water into wine. In biology, he was born without having being conceived in his mother's womb in the natural way. In physics, he defied the laws of gravity when he walked in the waves and when he ascended into the heavens. In economics, he rejected mathematical theory when he fed 5,000 people having only two fish and five loaves, and afterwards still having 12 baskets of food left over. In medicine, he healed the sick, paralyzed, and blind without administering any medicine. History spoke of him before and after him. He was the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. As it is written in the Bible, no one comes to the Father except through me. So who is he? He is the Lord Jesus Christ. The most powerful person in the history of the whole world was Jesus the Christ. He had no slaves, and yet they called him Lord. He had no academic degree, and nevertheless, they called him teacher. He had no medicines, but they called him physician of souls and bodies. He had no army, and yet the kings were afraid of him. He had no military battles, and nevertheless, conquered the world. He committed no crime, and yet they crucified him. He was placed in a tomb, and yet he lives. It is my honor to serve him who is the ruler who loves us. And what our ruler and king wants us to do is through the persecutions, through the struggles, through the difficult times of life, is to always recognize that he is the king. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He doesn't need to be protected. He protects and declares the truth. All we need to do is continue to serve him, live for him, pray, share the good news with everybody, and allow his power to be proclaimed. Because we are in a society and a culture and a world where we have to face the struggles that we've never faced before. So on Easter, Jesus was betrayed, mocked, rejected, and beaten. He was pierced, crushed, crucified, and buried just for you and me. But the cross could not finish him. The grave could not hold him. Death could not defeat him. The stone was rolled away, and he is not there. He is risen. He is risen indeed. There was a young boy who went to a Christian school. We know it was a Christian school because this school had an Easter play about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And this little boy had one line he had to remember. He was an angel in the play. And the line he had to remember is, he is not here. He is risen. So the young boy practiced his lines over and over again. He is not here. He is risen. He is not here. He is risen. And he practiced all the different ways to say it. And he was prepared and ready. And on that great day, he had his wings on and his angel outfit. And the lights came on, and he couldn't see anyone in the audience. He could see all he could see was the lights in his face. And he knew the stadium was filled with people to see the school play. And the nerves just got the best of him. And the director pointed to him for his line, and he stood there with his mouth just hanging open. And he couldn't remember his line. Finally, somebody leans over to him and whispers in his ear, "Oh, he is not here. He is in prison." What we see when we realize that Jesus conquered the grave, he is not there, he is not in prison, quite the opposite, he is free, and what he is a jailbreaker. He gets you out of jail, maybe not physically if you've committed crimes and are serving time today, but he'll take you out of the prison mentality that led you to that place where you are, where you feel shackled, you feel bound, you feel rejected. That's what Jesus is all about, is bringing freedom. We must always remember that the stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out. Jesus is free. He didn't need the stone to be rolled away. The stone was rolled away to let us in, to allow us to see what took place so that we could glorify the Father, to glorify the Son, to glorify the Holy Spirit, to worship the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's what Easter is all about. And today there are people who've lived their lives in such a way that they just don't feel like they have accomplished what they had hoped. But the fact is that the good news of Jesus Christ is real, that the good news of Jesus Christ is here to save. It is here to release us and not to restrict us and bind us. And yet people who don't know Jesus have just the opposite understanding of Christianity and of our faith in him. Recently, John Lennox, who was born in 1943 and is currently a professor of mathematics at Oxford University. He was asked in a panel, he was asked, why would you choose to worship a creator God who forbade man to actually eat of the tree of knowledge, one which you have obviously eaten from because you are a rather knowledgeable man? Why would you choose to worship the sort of deity who would have kept you down? Well, there's a ton of problems with that question, but yet, John Lennox answered the question in the most profound, funny, and beautiful way. His first statement was, that's a very good question. I will tell you why it is a good question. I want you to notice that it was asked originally by a snake. The answer to your question, though, is, do I worship a God who wants to keep me down? I tell you the kind of God I worship. I worship the kind of God who made me in his image, encoded himself into humanity, came into our world to provide a basis through his death and resurrection that I could become something that I was not by creation. And that is a son of God. The notion that God is trying to keep us down is actually the original lie. It is the lie of Satan that God will not come to our rescue, that God does not have a divine design, that God doesn't empower us, free us, and let us become the people that God has intended us to be. On this day, Easter Sunday, on this day, March 31st, 2024, it is a day to recognize the fact that God made us just the way we are, that this is the day that God created us, male and or female, that God does not want us to look at ourselves and be unhappy because we don't have the right genitalia. God made us to be the people he created us. And as we recognize whatever he gave us, we take up that cross and we follow him. And that cross is whatever it is that he has called us to bear. And so it is with thanksgiving in our hearts on a daily basis, an hourly basis, that we thank God for making us the way we are. If he made us a woman, a woman. If he made us a man, a man. And so we live with the full understanding that God allows things to happen to us in order to guide us, to lead us, for us to experience the wholeness of his goodness in our lives. God has a plan for your life. It exceeds my wildest expectations and yours. It might be just being the grandparent that I am to my grandkids. It might be a parent raising your children at this point. It might be an aunt or an uncle, you know, giving guidance to nieces and nephews who would never understand who Jesus Christ was otherwise. The most important thing we have as individuals and people is to share the good news of Jesus Christ, that he entered this world so that you might live, so that I might live, that we might be freed from the prison that we find ourselves in when we are locked in the mentality of negative thinking, of vengeful thinking, of hatred, but instead we live a life of love, a life of goodness, a life of prosperity, not necessarily wealth and money, but prosperity, because the greatest things in life are not given to us through money and not acquired through money. Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple, died a billionaire at the age of 56 with a capital of $7 billion, and he died from pancreatic cancer at the age of 56. And these are some of the last words that he gave. He said, this is what he said, lying in bed, ill and remembering my whole life, I realized that all recognitions and wealth are insignificant in the presence of imminent death. As we get older, we get smarter, and we slowly understand that whether the clock is worth $30 or $300, they both show the exact same time. Whether we drive a $150,000 car or a $2,000 car, we still arrive at the same destination. So there are five facts that cannot be denied. One, don't educate your children to be rich. Educate them to be happy. So when they grow up, they will know the value of things and not the price. Eat your food as medicine. Otherwise, you'll have to eat your medicine as food. Number three, the one who loves you will never leave you. Even if you have 100 reasons to give up, you will always find a reason to hold on. Reason number four, there is a big difference between being a human and being a human and being. Fact number five. So if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. Here's a man on his deathbed discovered that his net worth of $7 billion meant nothing. It's the relationships we have. It is the joy we find. It is having a faith in Jesus Christ as our risen Lord and our risen Savior. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, we are experiencing a national resurgence of people believing in Jesus and understanding his love for the world. And there is a revival taking place. And if you want to know what's happening, on Pentecost Sunday, that's going to be March 19th this year, we are having a baptism across the state of California. I have signed up to be a church where people can be baptized. And last year on Pentecost Sunday, there was 4,000 people baptized in California. This year, we expect to exceed that number. And you can go to baptizecalifornia.com, and you can see exactly what I'm talking about. And if we can do it in California, if you're in another state or another country, it is that much easier and productive and powerful for you to be able to invite people to come to know Jesus Christ and be baptized on Pentecost Sunday. So here we are. Easter Sunday. He is risen. He is risen indeed. He is alive, so that you and I can profess our faith in the risen Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this day. We thank you for Easter. We thank you that you are victorious. So we thank you, Lord, for everything. We praise your name always and forever. Amen. Please consider supporting this ministry. Go to our website, drschuler.org, and support this ministry. Give $24 a month. Become a recurring donor. I just want you to know that God loves you. So do we. And so may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you always and forever. And may this be your happiest Easter ever. God is blessing you.